Hi, listeners. I'd like to remind you about our Q&A, which will be soon.
Once we have enough questions, we will host a Q&A. If you'd like us to answer some of your questions, email us at takoinupodcast@gmail.com. That is takoinupodcast@gmail.com. This will also be linked in the show description.
Now, onto the episode.
Welcome to the 9th episode of The Void of Literature.
I'm Nick, and this is Elijah. Today we will be discussing the 100-year-old man who climbed out the window and disappeared by Jonas Jonasson.
Quickly before we start, today we are drinking tummy tea, which is a T2 tea. It has a fennel and peppermint taste, and its aftertaste is quite sweet, as well as having a hint of licorice in it.
Yes, I agree with that. Also, here's the blurb from the 100-year-old man who climbed out the window and disappeared. Sitting quietly in his room in an old people's home, Alan Carlson is waiting for a party he doesn't want to begin. His 100th birthday party, to be precise. The mayor will be there, the press will be there, but as it turns out, Alan will not. Escaping, in his slippers, through his bedroom window into the flower bed, Alan makes his getaway. And so begins his picturesque and unlikely journey involving a suitcase full of cash, a few thugs, a very friendly hot dog stand operator, a few deaths, an elephant, and an incompetent police. As his escapades unfold, Alan's earlier life is revealed, a life in which, remarkably, he played a key role in behind the scenes in some of the most momentous events of the 20th century.
Alright, let's get started with the 9th episode of The Void of Literature! So Nick, what's so good about the 100-year-old man who climbed out the window and disappeared?
Well, the first good thing is that it has very good comedy. The comedy style is mostly sarcastic and slightly deadpan, but this means that the boring parts of the book become fun because there's a quip or a sarcastic remark or something like that. And also, it means that the history of the book, so the book talks about events of the 20th century as mentioned in the blurb, the history of it becomes interesting, which is generally not the case in like a history textbook.
Yeah, I agree with that, as this book has a lot of history, as the blurb implies, from talk about the 20th century, and normally you're reading history books and it's like, oh, this happens, that happens, but this one has a lot of, like, it's not realistic, like, a lot of it, and some of it's made up, so it makes some boring history lesson you could have quite entertaining, as it has a lot of jokes in there, as well as some things that are just, like, sarcastic and deadpan and not very serious. And I think it can teach you a bit of history, though not 100% accurate, while also being fun.
Yes, I agree. The second point is that the character development is very good. All the backstories of all the characters are explained in depth, and often got referring to the comedy. There are also humorous events in that person's past, so that makes it easier to read rather than another backstory where it's just recounting the events of the person's life. But actually, it's a bit boring to read all of this, like, 10-page summary of the person's life. So it lets you understand the character's situation quickly and more easily, and it means that the story arc is clear and has room to move around and twist and turn and stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that, as the backstories are quite important, as you need to know more about the characters for the story to get better. Otherwise, it's just, why is this person doing that, or what happened here? Why is that the case? And I think instead of making it just whole couple of chapters about how this person got to where they are, it kind of, like, weaves through the main storyline, as well as telling people about how the characters got to where they are. And I think the fact that it relates is quite good. And it kind of also, as I said earlier, unblurs stuff, as you kind of need to know some things to understand what's going on.
Yeah, and I agree. And adding on to that, it kind of fluctuates between backstory and then plot, which means that you don't have to read about the same thing all the time, and there's all that anticipation for finally getting back to the plot, which makes you want to keep reading. The third point is that there's a great progression of the story. Again, the story arc is really clear and everything links up well. There's no things that really don't serve a purpose. They're just kind of there as fillers, or they're there because they just happen to be there and the main character makes a humorous remark about it and then it kind of never appears again. Everything serves a purpose whether you recognize it at the time or not.
Yeah, I agree with that. As everything links up to make a really good story, as well as just really minor things that happen to the character, and got to serve a really big purpose that affects the entire story. And I think that the fact that everything plays a purpose is quite good, as it's not just a bunch of stuff being filler, as for a lot of books where it's just, oh yeah, this happens, but then it's not really important throughout the rest of the story.
Yeah, and that gives space for the story arc to continue on, and it means that everything builds up the climax to the eventual climax, which makes it exciting and tense. But as we know, no book is perfect. Can you tell us about the flaws in this one, Elijah?
For starters, there aren't many climaxes, as the book is more focused of as like the characters going to a place and then you hearing about why they're there and then some more traveling to other places to escape things. But there aren't many like fighting or like action scenes where it's like, oh no, what am I gonna do? Or like, oh no, how am I gonna defeat this person? It's more of just gotta run away. Oh no, they're near, gotta run away even more. And I think that maybe is a really bad point of the story, as stories kind of need a climax for it to be good. And as we said earlier, there's a lot of deadpan and sarcastic things, which is good, but then some of it kind of can make the climaxes not very climaxy, as it's kind of just like, oh yeah, that happened, when it could have been, oh yeah, that happened and it was really cool and stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And adding on to that, I think by choosing a 100-year-old man as the protagonist, that made it a contrast to other narratives. But by making the main character old and decrepit, it meant that the main character couldn't be involved in many action scenes, or they would just fall over, or they wouldn't be able to actually take part, which is not a good move if the main character, or it's not a good move to have the protagonist not participate in action scenes. So while it offers a contrast to other books, it means that the author has had to sacrifice some of the stuff that other novels use to make it to make more tension and to make more action. So that makes it a bit slow to read.
Yeah, I agree with that. Another major bit of this story that's maybe a bit, not really as much bad, but annoying, is that you need prior knowledge to understand some stuff. And if you haven't already learnt this stuff, maybe you need some research to understand what's going on in the story. As earlier we said that a lot of the part of this book is history, it's more about making the history humorous rather than teaching you stuff. So maybe they say something and then you're like, what is that? Or what does that mean? Or did that really happen? And I think to keep you on track for actual history and to make you understand the story better, I think you need some prior knowledge of what actually happened and what is actually going to happen to that part in history to understand the story. And I think if you're reading a book, you're just relaxing, reading a book, having like your own you time, you don't really want to like research things while you read. So I think that can be a downfall of the story.
Adding on to that, with you need prior knowledge, and I remember one cliffhanger, I think, where it said it was blah 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 a date, like, and this date was obviously momentous in history, but if you don't know what that date symbolizes, it's kind of just like, again, talking about there not being many climaxes, it means that there's no tension because you don't really know what's happening and you don't know if it's bad or not. So that is a downfall of the story.
Yeah, and like even the characters are like major people of history, and if you don't know much about history, you probably don't understand why these characters are doing what. So that's a major part of the story. Personally, I'd rate this book an 8 out of 10. I, for one, really like history, and I think the book was quite funny, but it just didn't have that action and climax part of the story, so I think that's what made it an 8.
I'm going to rate it a 7, because while the humor is great and it makes history fun to read, I don't like having to go search up what happened in France in 1968 or whatever. So I think that is a major downfall of the book, and there's not enough action and tension to actually convince me to keep reading. So that is not very good. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And remember to fill that void!